Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Warren.
And I'm Sam.
And
owner of Wadi Brewing.
Perfect. And we're here in North Vancouver, not far from the Ironworkers Memorial Bridge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of traffic getting here.
Yes.
Yeah. End of the day on a weeknight here. So, yeah. Yeah. A lot of people trying to escape the North Shore here.
Yeah, no doubt.
On every road.
But honestly, I didn't have too much problem getting here. I was going against the traffic.
Yeah, if you head from Beer, it can either be anywhere from 5 minutes to 45. So it's...
yeah, I went and picked Jordan up at Beer. So yeah, yeah, it was a little bit longer, but it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, yeah, blame it on me. Thanks, guys.
No worries. On the air too.
So let's start with the basics here. Where are we located? What's the address here?
We're North Vancouver, 1385 Main Street.
Is this the city or the district or whatever?
We're in the district.
There we go. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it's one of these crazy areas where there's both.
Yeah.
Just like Langley.
Yeah. A little confusing.
And you opened when?
We opened just 2.5 years ago now.
Beautiful.
Yes.
So 2.5 years ago. Okay, so about a year before the whole pandemic came in.
Yeah, I was about 8 months.
Wow.
In, so that was fun.
Yeah. No doubt.
Still paying off those architect bills. I'm like, yeah, sweet. Oh, yeah, we gotta deal with this. Yeah.
Well, at least you got a nice 8 months.
Yeah. It was fun.
The before times.
Yes. Yeah, I miss them.
Yes.
It's all right. We got a patio out of it. So.
That is true. That is true.
A lot of people did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Look for the silver lining.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, so you mentioned patio. Like, capacity inside with the patio now, is it how much bigger is it than it was?
So we had to keep the same capacity.
Yeah. Okay.
You had to just, right. You can, they wanted you to just rotate people into different locations. So. Yeah, we have 100 capacity, and still the same,
mm-hmm.
until we actually apply for a full-time patio license, and then we can probably increase that.
Nice. How many sits on the patio right now, then?
We're about 65.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Now, the other thing I noticed when I pulled up here today is there's some additional parking on the west side of the building. Lots of parking, actually. So if you're coming from out of town or across town and you're worried about parking or something, please do not be concerned. Plenty of parking here now.
Yes. Yeah, it wasn't here when we first signed the lease. So, yeah, we were told we had to install a full parking lot because they're putting in a new B-line.
Oh.
So, I mean, it ended up working out because we got a patio out of it. But yeah. During that time, you're about to open the doors and then you got to fork out more money. So.
Yeah. What's a little more money when you're opening your brewery,
I mean,
right?
It was not stressful at all.
No, of course not.
Just another unaccountable expense.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's another trip to the bank.
Oh, you again.
Damn.
So what's your background in beer then?
So it's funny, I actually came from the wine industry.
Hmm.
So my grandfather, he brought Lindeman Wines to Canada in the 60s, and I grew up learning everything there is to do about wine.
Okay.
And I ended up trying to make that my passion. And I started working for a wine store and then ended up moving to Australia to actually start making wine for a winery.
Wow.
And yeah, it was fine. It wasn't my thing, but I kept it up. I wanted to do a full season with them, and I ended up stumbling across a craft brewery, and craft beer wasn't a really big thing in North Vancouver at all. Like,
yeah.
There was a few, but it wasn't something we did on weekends.
Storm and R&B.
Yeah. I don't even know what I did before. Like, people went to breweries all the time. But so
coffee
it wasn't,
shops?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I stumbled across this craft brewery, and I couldn't believe that a beer could taste this good. Because I was used to just the Molson, and wasn't my thing.
No,
yeah. And I it was much like a wine in when I tasted it, where it had aroma, depth, I fell in love with craft beer and ended up studying a lot about it, and was fortunate enough to travel the world with my wine job, and ended up seeking out those breweries when we had some time off, and ended up thinking, well, this is really cool because I was learning about beer in other parts of the world. And I started thinking, what if I grabbed these certain aspects from each brewery and kind of bring it to one? And it was 4 years of planning.
Wow.
And
wow.
Yeah, I was quite young at the time too. So I was super ambitious about my plans, and I didn't want people think I'm crazy. it was a little bit nuts. And I took it to family and friends. So I said, listen, guys, like, this is my plan. This is what I want to do. And no one said it was a bad idea. So I was oh, geez, I guess I better do it then.
That was a good call.
Yeah.
Isn't the family usually the one that reins you in?
Right?
When it's that kind of money?
Yeah. They're like, you should do that. Yeah. But figure it out yourself. Like, we just support
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah. We can't help you financially.
Yeah. Though.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go for it.
Emotional support all the way.
Yeah.
So were you always looking to open in North Vancouver then?
Yeah, so I grew up on the North Shore.
Oh, okay.
And there wasn't a lot in this district area. So I thought this would be a great area, knowing that there was 1,000 new homes being built within walking distance to this location. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was a no-brainer, even though people thought I was crazy not wanting to go up in the Brewers District in the city. And I was, that's where they were starting this new trend up there. And I was like, yeah, I know. But I wanted the warehouse space because I wanted to grow on the distribution side as well. And there wasn't any opportunities.
All of those places up in the Brewers District there are tiny.
Yeah. I was commenting on that because I came from that way. I took the C bus over and I was like, oh, I'm going to start walking and see what I can see. And I made it to beer, and I was like, wow, this place is tiny. Like, they even have patio space in front of other businesses.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I guess they don't need to use their roll-up doors here. But, yeah, the space you have here is amazing. It's huge. You have room to expand.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a 45-minute walk from beer. But, like, everybody else, like you said, that lives around here is, like, they're more fortunate because they don't have to travel that way. They can just walk here. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
And you're not very far from Bridge Brewing either.
No, they're just down the street.
Yeah. A small drive.
Close.
Very short drive. And then just up the street here is Sons of Vancouver Distilling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's where they are. Okay.
Yeah, and Woods Distillery as well.
Have you done collabs with those guys? We you have, right?
Both of them. Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah. There's good old neighborhood friends. There's a distillery called Stealth Vodka, and we did our Mai Tai Sour with them.
Ooh, that was fabulous. I had that one.
Yeah, so really it's fun. Good. I mean, we decided, we're doing these cocktail inspired beers. We'd like to add the spirit to it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're fortunate to have these great relationships with all three distilleries beside us.
Cool. Nice. Sure. All right. So we should,
try, I think we should
try a beer.
I think we should dive in.
Sure.
Where are we going to start?
So we've got our Czech Pilsner here. It's our flagship beer. It's one of the first beers Michael, our brewmaster, created.
Mm-hmm.
We spent a lot of time tweaking it and making it perfect. And
so this is one of your cores. It's available all the time.
It's available all the time, yeah.
And you know what? I kind of like trying a Pilsner or a lager or something like that. Helles, Kolsch, something like along those lines. If a brewery has it, that's the first thing I'm going to try because there's nothing to hide behind. You can't just cover it up with hops or everything, and it's going to really tell you if the brewer knows what he's doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That said, this is bloody delicious.
Did you even smell it?
I did. It smells like beer flavored beer.
Yes, yeah,
it does.
Little tiny bit of graininess.
Yeah, I got the grain.
You get that nice sweet maltiness from the grain, a little nuttiness. And you get the nice balance with the hops.
Yeah.
Well, it's got some big flavor for this style of beer.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely got lots of grain flavor in there, a little bit of sweetness from the grain.
I like the sweetness a lot coming from it. I was going to say the sweetness is great.
And it's not really bitter, but it's definitely got some of that
it's
hop
got
the note
hop
in there.
Balance there. More of a sort of a grassy, spicy, floral kind of thing going on. But wow. Ice cold after you mowed the lawn, no problem.
What's a lawn?
Oh yeah,
something that old people with houses have. Remember back in the old days when people could afford a house?
Yeah.
I got a lawn, guys. What's, what?
Yeah, you got a little strip, don't you? Yeah. Jordan's the rich
no,
guy
it's
here.
I'm fucking lying. It's moss.
Two passes, you're done.
I got to use a weed eater and a rake.
Nice. Takes longer to take out the weed eater than it does to cut it.
This is really nice. Is there a name for this, or
just
the style?
Yeah, we
just
decided to keep our core beers. It is what it is.
It's just a Pilsner.
It's the Wild
Eye
Pilsner.
Czech Pilsner.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, Czech Pilsner.
You know what?
Okay.
I have no problem with that. I got It's kind of annoying sometimes when people have to name every single beer and give it a weird name. I'm like, well, just tell me what it is.
And it has to be a weird name because all the normal names have been taken 100 years ago.
So true.
If it's not like three words and a descriptor, it's taken.
Oh, yeah. You try to name anything, you just get so fed up because everything's taken.
Well, even when you think you find a good name and then you actually put it into Google, there's somebody in the States or something. Like, it may not be in Canada, but you'll find somebody else.
Somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a couple like breweries in Canada name it the same as an American brewery or something else just because it's like, we're far enough away or whatever.
Fuck it. It's a one-off. Yeah. It'll be long gone before we notice.
And then you get the other ones that just get the cease and desists.
But it's a one-off and it's gone before it matters.
Yeah. That happens.
Don't add Canadian to any of your beer names.
Yeah.
They'll come after you.
Molson.
Yeah. Well,
I can't call it a Canadian pale ale.
Because
they have a trademark on the word Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem like that should be allowed.
I don't know. White Claw sent some cease and desists out to our friends out in, I think, Nelson Brewing one. Yeah.
They had
a white IPA, and it was called No Fun or something like that, but it looked like a White Claw.
Really?
Like No Fun White IPA or something like that. And
cheeky.
Yeah, it was tongue in cheek. And it was a great looking can. And then I was like, yeah, guys, you got to send me some down. And they're like, well, we can't because we got the cease and desist.
Wow.
They're still going to brew the beer, but now they got to think of another clever name, which is always fun.
Yes.
God.
Back to the board.
Yeah. Jeez.
So I'm assuming you guys distribute to some of the local beer stores in Vancouver, Lower Mainland.
Anywhere
pop out that you need to tell us about?
Yeah, I mean, we love the Gull. They're right in front of us there.
Yeah, Rusty Gull.
Rusty Gull. The North Shore Liquor Shops in Great Mountainside is a newer one that just opened in Edgemont.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so lots of great liquor shops.
Mostly on the North Shore?
No, we're actually...
You're everywhere.
We're from Victoria to Kelowna.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes.
Pitt Meadows, Maple Ridge got them. I pick up all mine from Pitt Meadows or mostly Maple Ridge because Pitt Meadows beer stores are pretty shitty. But you got like the old Jack's there and you got, I forget what it's called.
The Mountain.
No, it's not that anymore. They changed. It used to be, it's on 216th or something like that, but it's amazing. They have like the single can selections. I always go in and find yours in there. So.
Oh, okay.
The singles are fun.
Mix and match. Yeah. Just in case you don't know.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, going back to the tasting room a little bit, how many taps do you have in there?
Oh, you 20.
20 taps, damn. Are they all your beer or?
No. So we've decided to partner with, so you guys were just talking about La Spaceria.
Yep.
They have a urban winery upstairs called Garna Granite.
Oh.
Yeah. So we bring in their wine. Yeah.
I had no freaking clue. I was just there.
I think it's only open on weekends.
Huh.
Okay. So they make some great wine and everything we bring in here, we try to keep within this bubble North Van as much as we can. So we're really lucky that they make some really good wine. So we have them on tap. And then we have Maverick Cider in the Okanagan as well.
Cool.
So that's been fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how many taps are yours then currently?
Well, right now we probably have about 12 going.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of selection.
Yeah.
It's a few flights, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Three to be exact.
Oh, math's hard.
Quick math.
Quick math.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome. So you have 12 on tap and then you have a couple wines and cider. Do you have like other breweries in the neighborhood that you throw on as guest taps?
We do collabs a lot.
Okay, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've done that. And then we're going to start adding our Brett beers on tap, which is going to, it was a little scary because we have to make sure it's like completely separate lines and nothing ever touches those lines ever again. So we're gonna start doing that because we've got some beautiful barreled beers and we offer it in bottles and we figured it's best to have someone try it as well.
For sure.
So we've been doing a lot of research on how to make that sure that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Without contaminating everything.
Yeah, you don't want everything in the brewery, Brett.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some breweries that won't even do Brett because of that. Yeah,
yeah, I know. Yeah.
It can be a problem.
Yeah, so we're gonna be very careful, but it'll be worth it.
We're an all Brett brewery now.
just got to remember the first three rules of brewing: sanitation, sanitation, sanitation.
Yeah, what's the fourth again? Sanitation.
Absolutely.
Damn.
Well, do we want to talk about, I think this is another core here I'm seeing, the West Coast IPA?
Yeah, West Coast. Oh,
this one's had a very interesting aroma.
You put the saison.
We're, that's skip. Let's go with the...
Oh, yeah. This one.
Follow the dots.
Probably stick with the cores first and then move to the...
To the fancy stuff.
This smells amazing.
Oh, dude, does it ever. That's just the proper nose for a West Coast.
This one is one of my favorite beers that Michael's ever brewed.
It's almost got a nose of like a hazy going on.
Yeah, it's very dank. It's got some mosaic and whatnot in it.
Oh, I'm just like getting that juicy dankness on my nose like right away. I haven't even tried a sip and I'm already...
No, I haven't tasted it yet either.
I already tell you I'm going to love it just by the nose. You probably will.
Now, it is a little hazy, so even if it's a Pacific Northwest style, it's
still slightly hazy.
Almost
yeah.
It's sort of a hybrid kind of thing.
It's really good.
Now, this is part of the IPA
experimental
series.
Yes.
So this one is coming out in a week or
two? So we've had this one out.
This one's out.
Oh, this one's out right now.
This one's,
what's this one called?
Experimental Volume 2.
Experimental Volume 2.
How many volumes are you at now?
So we're up to 6 now.
Okay, because so you had one with Cashmere, you got the cold IPA, what else?
So the hazy IPA was the first one.
Yeah.
And then this one, we've done 2 other hazies.
You did an Amarillo something and a Cashmere.
That was the pale ale.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, there's too many experimentals, I can't keep up. not that I'm complaining.
It's got a huge flavor.
Yeah, this one's off the charts.
I mean,
it's massive hop flavor.
Oh, it's got a little maltiness to it too, with that citrus. Well,
it's definitely got that sweet, fruity, malty to balance off all of those hops. So it doesn't come off as sweet; it comes very, very balanced.
Yeah.
But the hop presence is just huge.
Yeah, it's like orange and almost like pineapple in there.
Yeah, definitely some citrus, maybe a little bit of tropical,
little mango,
little dank
on my tongue. Oh, yeah.
Damn, that is really good.
It's fabulous. So.
Yeah, it's dank. It's not super bitter. It's definitely got bitterness.
Yeah, but it's not overly bitter, and it doesn't have any of that hop burn at the back of the throat like some of the juices and things like that.
No hop burn whatsoever.
This isn't one of those Pacific Northwest IPAs from 10 years ago.
No. But it's close. Modern. It's close, though. It's darn hoppy.
Yeah, but it's not just like pine forward, punchy in the face.
No, exactly. Thank God.
Drag a pine cone over your tongue. Which I used to love those, but you just don't get them anymore.
Yeah.
No.
This is pretty darn close.
There's a little bit of pine cone in there, but not like it used to be.
I couldn't find a bad word to say about this beer, to be honest with you guys. It's on point, 100%.
What's the ABV on this one? Do you know? Top of your head?
Hey, Mike.
Good question.
What's the ABV on the West Coast? 7?
ABV.
Come talk in the microphone, buddy.
This one is, I'd have to say this one's about 6.5.
Okay.
So right where
it should be.
Yeah.
And all of the color that we have from that in that beer that you would normally get from caramel malts in your old-fashioned style of West Coast, I don't like doing that. That's not my thing. I find caramel malts and bitterness to be two-fifths butting up against each other, and I dislike that, so I got all of the color using Red X malt.
Oh!
So I'm getting that...
Interesting.
That feel, that so that you think you're drinking a West Coast old style, but with a completely different malt, so you don't get that sickly sweet caramel malts, and then I provided a little bit of body with a bit of oats in there. So
that's where that little haze is coming.
A little bit of sweetness comes from that oat. And then on top of all of that, to modernize it, West Coast when they were a thing, Kvike was not a thing.
Yeah.
And so I brewed it with Kvike to give it that big fruity apricot flavor.
That makes sense.
That's the flavor we're missing.
High temperature fermentation.
Apricot.
High temperature. We're looking at 30 to 35.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Damn. The color's amazing. It's very deep amber, almost an orangish, but just a handful of Red X, eh?
Just basically one bag.
That's brilliant.
Quite a few other bags.
Very cool idea.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's delicious.
Cool. Thank you.
Perfect.
Yeah. We're going to keep on calling you over from your computer. He hasn't joined the podcast, but we're going to gently make him join.
Yeah. He's usually not here this late.
Melanie's dentist appointment.
We're lucky. So I'm guessing this is available in cans, right?
Yes.
Yeah, perfect.
Most of your stuff is available in cans, right?
Yeah, we try not to release anything that's not in cans as well.
The best idea ever.
Or bottles.
Yeah. One of the other.
Yeah,
just a package product. Yeah. But I don't know, man. I might be able to pick my favorite beer of the night already.
Oh, it might be too soon.
I know. On the mojitos.
Do you do growler fills?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have a Pega system. So it purges the CO2. Yeah.
Counterflow.
Yeah. So.
Perfect. So that. They do growler fills. If you have a growler and
still.
You need it filled.
Yes. Yeah. Still. People still come in.
I know. Everybody fills them.
I've been noticing lately it's a certain crowd, and they all look like they get off at 5, wear their socks a bit higher than most people, and have children that are 3 to 5.
Yeah, that's about right. We got one guy that comes with 2 bags. He just fills up for the week.
Wow. How high are your socks, Jordan?
Yeah.
Growler day.
They're like, it's always during happy hour, right?
So, sure. Of course, when it's busy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I have no problem. Fill a dozen growlers. Sure.
Oh, man. Do you see a lot of growler fills these days? Because a lot of places don't do many these days.
You don't see them too often anymore.
Yeah,
do you?
No, I can tell because I'm not always behind the bar, but I have to place the cap orders all the time. Oh. So no. That's how I count how many.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Actually, I've sat down at my local pub or brewery, pardon me, and I went in early on a Saturday after I do a grocery shop. My thing is groceries in the trunk, one beer, home, put the groceries away. And I sat there. I only had a 12-ounce because I was a little hungover. And I watched about, for the 15, 20 minutes I was there, about 12 to 13 guys come in with growlers of all assorted sizes and, like, filling it up. I was like, this is still a thing because I have 12 or 13 growlers at home, and I haven't filled one in years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
They're in that cupboard you forget.
Yeah, you just keep...
It's called the laundry room.
I used to keep one in my trunk, but I don't even do that anymore.
No. We had one guy coming the other day, tried to fill a milk carton. We're like, bro.
Four-liter jug?
Yeah. He's like...
It's a gallon growler, man.
I want to buy a growler.
And how bad did he smell?
Oh, man.
I'm like, here, let me give you this growler. Like,
4 liters is a little different than 1.9 liters or 1.89 liters.
He's like, I brought a jug, though. I thought that's how it works.
Fine. Be drinking
He probably got it filled at Storm.
You never know there, man.
Oh, they'll fill a 2-liter pop bottle.
Yeah. Oh, frick. Yeah. Oh, I would not be drinking beer out of a 2-liter bottle.
Hey, it's cheap.
Yes, I'd rather just get a Mickey and pour that into pop than fill a 2-liter bottle with beer.
Oh, my. Wow. So what size is your brew house here?
It's 25 heck.
Yeah. And that's a good size.
We're in the brewery side, but how many tanks do you have?
So we have 9. So 50 heck tanks. So we brew twice to get to one guy. And then we have 125 heck. For fun. Our goal is to actually start bringing some of those baby tanks, the 7 hex, I believe they are.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be great for more of our experimental stuff as well, so we can pump it out even faster and, you know, release like 4 at once.
Yeah, and then even with that, if you do a smaller one, it doesn't turn out as the way you want it. At least it's not that much beer you're trying to sell away, right? Because you never know what can go wrong.
2,500
Not that you guys have been doing bad.
Well, it's also fun to release things strictly for the tap room as well.
Yeah.
Kind of nice.
Well, it brings people in.
Yeah. So that's the next kind of play.
Cool.
That. Yeah.
You got lots of taps to fill. So.
You heard it first here on Pacific Beer Chat.
Maybe.
Like, no, we had a newspaper article last week.
No, we did not.
See, then you hear it first.
Yeah. Exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So which one do we want to try next?
Mojito.
I'm going to go big way. Okay.
Either way, or do you want to try the other one? Which one would be better to go first?
Well, it might be overpowering.
Flavor-wise, yeah.
So we might want to go to the Saison.
Okay.
Okay, so this is our next...
Bottle-conditioned
beer.
Barrel-aged. Mm-hmm. Aged on must of Pinot...
So it was...
Something or other.
Pinotage.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so that's been in there for... almost a year now.
So is Pinotage a wine?
It is.
It's a type of grape.
Grape then.
Can you tell us about this grape?
It originated from South Africa.
Ooh.
Okay.
This beer is crazy bright. It's like super clear and clean. It's
very clear.
Looks beautiful.
Does this beer have a name yet?
We have not. So it's It's a Shiner label. There's nothing on it yet. So
we should probably say that this has not been released yet.
No, yeah. It's soon to be released. It'll be the next release in the barrel program.
Yes.
This smells amazing.
It does smell amazing.
It smells
wild. I'm picking up some bread. I'm getting a little maybe lacto in there.
Definitely got
some fruitiness.
I don't know enough about wine, but it definitely has some wine in there, that grape kind of vinous kind of
thing.
So this is what's fun for me because I can combine, my love for wine and beer.
Yeah,
the get-go and the ending of what you've been doing. It's awesome.
Mm. God, that smells good.
Okay, don't get too excited, Warren. We know you love saisons.
Oh, hey now,
that's really easy drinking. That's really
that's
nice.
So easy drinking.
I think the grape shines through though, like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice.
Yeah, you can taste the little bits of sourness and the Brett, but it's kind of buried.
I get the Brett buried at the end, right on the back of the tongue.
On
as
the
I'm
front
finishing
end, you
up.
Get all the fruitiness
of the grape.
And right?
Yeah, man, 100%. So, have you done lots of saisons like in this sense with like using grapes and barrel aged and stuff, or is this something you guys are just getting into?
So we did a collaboration with the Keg. And we did...
Steakhouse?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Blowing up.
So we we did a Pinot collab with them. We used literally one of their house wines.
Oh.
And we dumped it in Belgian Blonde.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, and then that was aged.
How did that turn out?
It was crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah? That sounds really high end for the Keg on the beer side.
A little bit, yeah.
Because, I mean, they've got some like decent craft beers there usually, but it's nothing that's going to knock your socks off usually.
It's all their good stuff's in cans, though.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. If you go to the Keg and Coquitlam right now, you can get Fraser Mills Brown Ale
Maple
in
Ridge.
Cans.
Yeah. Plug.
Yeah, there you go.
Just saying.
Yeah. So there's a Keg pretty close to here. Is it still that you can go get it there now?
Yeah, you can get it at all Keg locations.
All Keg locations.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. You guys are doing great. That's so cool
to
hear.
Cool.
Wow.
I'll have to go to the Keg again soon.
I actually have gift cards
on
the bar, but it's just the Maple Ridge one. It was like, okay, you can sit on the patio, and the patio's like small. I won't even compare it to anything. It's like four cars, maybe.
Is that the one at the Equestrian Center?
No, there's, I don't know where you've been. There's no horses at this one.
there's a Keg at the Equestrian
No, you're thinking of the ranch.
No, that's different.
No, the Keg is by Shooters and the gym.
Oh, there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right in the heart of Maple Ridge. Yep. There's no breweries close to it.
Nope.
But back to this beer.
Yeah.
I'm loving this.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's kind of sweet up front, but then it dries out quite a bit.
Totally.
Just the nose is the same way, though. It's sweet and it dries as you're finishing smelling. Yeah. It
finishes nice and dry.
I think it's just the grapes up front that make it taste a little sweet.
The fruitiness, yeah.
But yeah, the Brett just dried it right out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that is fantastic. Any idea what the percentage is on this one?
7%.
You cannot tell. This is a
creeper.
Oh,
no, I wouldn't have said that was 7 at all.
No. It tastes like a 5% maybe table wine or table beer, right?
Yeah, Mike's good at hiding the alcohol in his beers.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
See that.
That's good.
Thank you, Mike.
So when do you expect this one to be released?
So we have the labels complete. So we're probably looking at a couple weeks.
Okay,
two,
nice.
3 weeks, yeah.
Damn, that is really, really good. I would encourage anyone listening to this, if you're a fan of Saison types or even barrel type beers, get your ass over here and grab one of these. This is really nice.
And like they said, it's not named yet. Do you have any plans for a name?
I believe we're just going to
call it Jordan Saison.
Yeah, yeah. our wild barrel series, I believe. Is,
yeah, we're sort of going off of that. I think we've chatted about our hop series having that be our like an experimental series about hops. So this is basically a barrel series, and why not just keep it with that and then just tell it what it is instead of trying to name it something. And it takes a whole lot of brain power to be creative with
and research with background.
Yeah, with how many other beers are out there that are already named. So let's just call it what it is. Perfect. And if you want it, then you'll see that in the name.
Keep it simple.
So. Yeah, well, it makes sense.
Your packaging, too, is quite easy to find. Like the wild eye emblem is always in the same spot, so you know what you're looking for. So even if it just is experimental berry series or the hop series or whatever you guys are doing, I've always been able to locate it. I have a store in Vancouver, and they have them singly packaged. And like, it's just a weird spot that one will be up here, one will be down here, one will be down here. But I always find them and grab them. Like, yep, saw you put this one here. And they just do it because the fridge space is open, right? So like, we can slide singles into here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I always snipe them out and try them whenever I can.
So they're easy to spot from the logo.
Yeah. Well, it's just like the wall here on the outside by the parking lot. Mike was like, I was joking on the GPS, was like, oh, we're 140 meters away. And like, traffic's crawling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, should I just walk over here with the equipment and set up by the time you get here? And he's like, oh, I can see it. I'm like, where? Oh, wait. There, there's the giant wall. So your cans kind of remind me the same of that wall, right? It's just like, boom, you see it, there it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
But this is fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
You should paint a little thing that says thirsty with an arrow.
Yeah. No, that one's gone.
Sorry, I came into the middle of this. Which one is that?
We're on your saison.
Oh, you are. Oh,
good. I actually haven't had it carbonated yet.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
It is so good.
Okay, well, let's hear your opinion on it then, since you haven't tried it carbonated. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Good, yeah. That I'm very proud to be able to get stuff in barrels I've always wanted to. And to do wine barrels in particular is just like, yeah, it's where I want to go with this. I mean, obviously at some point we want to do some whiskey barrels for something else, but
stout,
you know, stouts, big brown, something, yep. You know, but
ooh, a big brown would be good.
But just the character that you can get out of a wine barrel with a beer, having a wine background for both of us, we just love that wine essence and the fact that we can make that in a beer. It's pretty awesome.
Since we've got you here, actually, what's your background in beer or in alcohol?
And wine.
Yeah, beer and wine.
So I grew up not liking beer. My dad drank a particular beer with a...
say it.
Okay. It's the one with the mountain on it.
Go Canadian.
There you go.
In my Sasquatch. My house, it was Kronenbräu.
So. Yeah, so that was my dad's beer. It still is. Mostly, but he tries to get the Czech Pilsner and our lager, but that Kokanee was that beer, and I was just like, what's the point? And I don't get it. We had wine with dinner, and I always loved that. Whenever we had a chance to have a nice bottle of wine, I was like, oh yeah, this is great. Love tasting the wine. Never liked the beer. And I grew up and went to parties, and I never would drink the beer. Everyone else is chugging it. I'm like, why are you doing that? And I would bring a bottle of wine, and people would think I'm weird, and I wasn't invited back. So
I was that guy for a while.
Hey, well, now, guess
when
what?
When I was in my early 20s, I'd do that. I'd show up with a bottle of red and drink it to myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I was the opposite. I had Kokanee. Sorry, guys.
But so I never liked it. So, I ended up really falling in love with wine because I burnt out from my previous career, and we took a year off. My wife and I, we saved up and we went to France in Italy, where we worked in exchange for room and board on vineyards.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
And some farms. And
what an education.
And I did the whole thing. I pruned the vines. We did the harvest. Went through pruning the whole winter long, and trained the vines in the springtime in Italy, and drank a whole lot of wine with a whole lot of really good food, always paired perfectly because it was French wine with the French food, and it was or the Italian wine with the Italian food, and it was just mind blowing. And I was like, I need to do this. I have to do this. When we got back, I started looking into trying to make it myself, and it was a very sudden realization that as a hobbyist, I couldn't just go and do U-brew and be happy with what I did when I was, you know, when I was drinking Premier Cruz in France. Yeah. My tastes had been elevated, and I needed to somehow do this, and I couldn't. And it was very frustrating. And then I went to a party for a friend of mine who went away in animation for a couple years, and someone handed me a beer. He's like, you got to try this. I was like, I don't want beer. Beer's gross. And he's like, no, it's been barrel-aged. And I was like, excuse me? So I was like, fine, that sounds interesting. I'll try it. And I remember it to this day, and it was a life-defining moment, because that very moment, I was just like, you mean beer can be complex and interesting and tasty, and it has this wine-like element. It's like, that's because of the oak. And I started losing my mind, and I realized at that point, it can take a pin, and that changed my life, because it was an innocent gun. And it changed my life because I realized that was the product that I could make, because I had access to all of that same ingredients that these people did. And I went, I could do that. And literally 2 weeks later, I had all of the brewing equipment, and I was brewing in my kitchen, calling a buddy who I knew who could brew in his home. And so, and like, oh no, is my beer ruined? Did I, like, what do I do? And then I just didn't look back. I bought all of the brewing books and went nuts. I was like, I need to know how this works. So I built my own spreadsheet doing math, which is something I always failed at in high school. And then I developed the ability to do math because of beer. I mean, beer has been amazing for me. It's awesome. Given me the ability to be precise and get more intelligence and be creative and all of that jazz. So I just kept brewing beer, and I just became more and more obsessed with it. I still was obsessed with wine. I left my other career in animation and went and worked at a wine store, just because I felt that was a better worth of my time than killing myself in front of a computer. I sold wine. I took more wine courses, and I kept making beer. And then there was a job opening for a position, and I applied for it, and I also applied for it with beer, because I thought, hey, you know what? I want to be a beer buyer. Here you go. Like, I know my stuff about beer. And that person happened to know Sam, who passed along all of that info. And when I went for the job posting, or when I went for the interview for being a beer buyer, guy was like, okay, so don't worry about that job. I got something better for you. How do you feel about working at a brewery, about like being the brewmaster? And it was just like, that's my dream job. That's very cool. Just like that is another pinpoint of my life I will always remember. It's like, that completely changed my life.
Wow.
And so I think two pinpoints of absolute awesomeness.
That's great. Fantastic. That's a good story, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
I like it. I was literally gonna like wait till you're finished and ask, like, oh, well, how did you meet Sam? But you finished the story off with it, so that's perfect. Right on. Man. Yeah. Right on. So you've been here since opening then?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well before opening.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, fair. Yeah,
drive,
yeah.
Drive by, take photos, like look inside. Oh, it's still dirt. Okay.
Freaking out. He's like, Sam, the rebar's still out. Like, yeah. Why is there no concrete? Like, calm down. Yeah. Everything's fine.
Yep. It's construction. It goes slow.
Yeah.
It does
yeah,
as ever.
Yeah, alert that.
Oh. Well, that's awesome.
But, yeah.
Do you have your permits yet? No. Wait longer.
Oh, God. Yeah. You're triggering me.
All right.
It's my work.
Yeah, it literally is your work.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling people that they're doing it wrong.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
So, since we slammed through that Saison, why don't you tell us what we're drinking next here, Sam?
This is gorgeous looking.
So this is the latest of our cocktail-inspired series.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Latest of the cocktail-inspired series. Yeah. Blackberry, mint, lime.
Yeah. In a kettle sour to make our blackberry mojito. So
this smells.
So is it
amazing.
A blackberry kettle sour as the base, or
so the it's a kettle sour base where we do our, we've got an in-house lactobacillus strain that looking on pitch number 30 or something like that. Now I just keep feeding it like a sourdough, and it just keeps being happy.
Nice.
We sour it, then we it's a 3-day process because it's a double batched beer, so you have to make the beer, sour overnight, cast that out in the tank, same day make the second batch, sour that overnight, next day bring up to a boil, and then cast that out.
Wow.
So it's a 3-day process. It's very labor intensive. Mm-hmm. And then we very little hops, so it's just a sort of a it, but it is, this particular batch is tailor-made for the blackberry mojito. I actually try to dry it out as much as I can. So I actually have fermented this, adding some glucoamylase.
Break down the sugars.
To really break down the sugars, to try to dry it out a bit.
Uh-huh.
And then we let that, once it's finished fermentation, then I added blackberry to it. I tried to drop out most of the yeast at that point. Added the blackberry and lime, let it re-ferment over the weekend, and then we crash cool it. Add some vegan clarification to that, and then to make sure, like, there's still potentially the chance of it re-fermenting. So we actually filtered this one just to be extra safe, because I did not want it to have that chance of re-fermentation. Mm. But we're still saying, just to be safe, keep it refrigerated. Yeah. But it's a very low chance. But now with that filtration, it looks like a Jolly Rancher.
It's clear as can be. Clear, and the clear. Color is gorgeous. It's this deep red color.
The nose is very nice, too.
Yeah, well, they've got the little fresh mint leaf on top when it serves. So you get that in the aroma.
I took mine out right away. You do get the blackberry. You get a little lime.
You can smell the blackberry behind it, yeah?
Yeah. But once you taste it, just the blend of everything comes together very nicely. Come on, tell me more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what I
thought. Holy moly. Yeah. I'm getting pulled in about 3 or 4 different directions all at the same time.
Yep.
You got the orange. Sorry, not orange.
I was going to say, where are you at? You get the blackberry. There's mint pulling on another way, and the lime coming somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's well done.
I kind of get a mix of blackberry and lime and mint.
I find
all at the front.
I find the mint pulls away, though, as you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God damn, that's good.
So with our cocktail series, I try to evoke the engineering principle of first principles, where when you want to do something, break it down into right from the scratch. How would you approach this beer? Because our cocktail series, we need to emulate a cocktail, but it still be beer. So it's a cocktail inspired beer. So how would I go about making that? And I try to do that with every single one of our beers, let alone our cocktail series. I really go down into that, like, how would I go about doing this? So I've thrown in a few fun things, like adding that glucoamylase to try to dry it out, but then we're keeping a little bit of residual sugar from the blackberry itself. There's a bit of dextrose during the fermentation that I add that actually helps lighten the body to turn it more into that light alcohol, where you would get that, say, from adding vodka or something light like that. So it actually is 6.5% alcohol.
Really, eh?
Wow.
You can't tell.
But as in, like, a 6.5% stout or a 6.5% IPA is going to have some
body
and weight to it. But this doesn't, and that's due to, like, the fact that we want to emulate a cocktail, so I got to go back and make sure it's...
So you're getting a little overboard. You're even getting right down to the mouthfeel.
Yeah. Everything. The mouthfeel, the amount of acidity that you would get from the beer. It's like, well, how sour do we really want to make this beer?
Well, that's the thing. So because it's balanced out with the sugars from the blackberry juice and things like that, yes, this is a kettle sour, but it's not crazy, crazy sour. You don't even really notice it's sour until after the initial sip, and then you notice it about halfway through the finish there, and you're like, oh, wait a sec, now I'm going to the tart side of things.
But because of all the steps you've taken, too, it's not one note at all.
Oh, no.
There's so many. Because that's the problem with most kettle sours. It's like, it's this, and that's it.
Yeah.
This has got so many flavors in there.
That's something that's been my beef with most kettle sours that I try on the marketplace is they're very one note.
Yeah. That's all our beef.
And
they can be very boring.
And I find with just a little bit more effort and thought, you can add a whole lot of body and character into a kettle sour. It just actually takes some thought.
Yeah.
And doing some practices that I'm not going to divulge some other things that I do to try to to get those things, because they're things that I've worked on and I've I've put some effort into it, and I've come up with some trade secrets that give it that extra character. So worked hard on that. So I'm glad you noticed. Thank you.
I bet this would taste really good with my chocolate mint that I grow at home. I don't have any straight mint, but I've got chocolate mint.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
Yeah. Couple
this
in there.
This is really delicious. This is, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a huge sour guy or whatever, but this is absolutely delicious. This is knocking me out. This is way better than I was expecting.
That is also another thing that I want to do is I want my sours to be available to everyone, not just sour heads.
Right.
Yeah.
Sour heads might be a little annoyed that it's not sour enough. Well, I want my sour to be approachable. I don't want to redo the 2000s of IPA where it's like how much IBUs can we get in this one? It's like no, I want it to be approachable, always approachable at any time. I'm not going
to. You could make it 2.4 pH if you wanted to.
Yeah,
but no one's going to enjoy that. Yeah,
exactly. I don't know 2.4 pH whatever. All I know is that if I'm a big sour guy. But if I'm going for a sour, I'm more looking for tartness than like puckering sour, right?
Yeah. Right.
And this is not
anywhere
close to puckering. And then, like we said, you get so many other flavors that are either pulling in or pulling away and giving you a crazy balance to this. This is really well done.
Thank you.
Saying that, though, it's a cocktail series. Do you actually put a certain type of booze in it? And if so, who was collabed on this one?
So this one did not have a collaboration with anyone.
Okay, because you've done a series like the Mai Tai and a couple others, I believe, right?
That's right.
Yeah, yes. The Mai Tai was fab, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes, we love that one.
Yeah,
we love working with the distilleries, but the odd one we'll throw out that's doesn't have any straight alcohol in it.
Well, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah,
not at all.
That's right. We've done the Blue Margarita.
That was fabulous,
that
too.
Was crazy.
The Blue Curacao.
Yeah,
did I say that right?
Yeah, I think we pissed off a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, because it came out greener than blue?
Well, just as those
yellow. I'm an internet, like, Instagram nerd that takes photos, and I saw so many people, it's green. It's like, shut up, enjoy the flavors, you idiots.
Yeah.
Blue and yellow made green. Oh my God. Weren't told that.
You didn't put in food coloring, you put in booze.
Yeah. Primary colors, damn it.
Sorry, I slept through green one. Just
release it on Z-Pack. Patrick's Day, like,
there you go.
I have a photo of a giant barrel that's just looking down into it. So I was going down and dipping a bucket and bringing it up and dumping that bucket into the giant fermenter that we were adding it into. And like looking down into this giant barrel that's just blue. Just completely blue from this blue curacao. It's just like, what am I doing? This is so weird. Thinking about this from like a few years ago perspective, but we sort of had this outrageous idea of like, how far could we push this? Could we make a ridiculous colored beer and would people like it? And as it turned out, you can't. I don't know how far you could push it.
I love the flavors were right. It was a really good beer, and like the only complaint that I saw people saying is that the blue didn't pull out through, but I don't give a shit about the color as long as the flavors are there.
It's
about the beer, not the color. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's why color is only 3 points on the BJCP sheet.
There you go.
We didn't add dye. Added blue curacao.
Yeah, that would just.
Yeah. So,
I had a beer on the weekend that had that pea flower.
Yeah.
In it.
Oh yeah.
To make it blue.
Yeah.
Purple.
Yeah.
Or
but because
blue.
The pH was a little.
Yeah.
Lower, it actually wasn't blue, and it was this weird grayish, purplish or whatever.
Yeah, because it could be really appealing. It could be purple and blue and all kinds of colors. Yeah,
that's just like using blueberries. So you don't get a blueberry color. It blueberries comes out more in beer gray,
always
right?
comes out gray. Yeah,
yeah,
is what just it
like,
is.
Awful looking,
like my milkshake. If I ever have a blueberry like milkshake in the morning, I'm like, why is this gray?
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
You're drinking milkshakes in the morning? I want to hang out with you more often.
Called smoothies when you have them in the morning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. A whole bunch of oat milk and a whole bunch of fruit.
All right, I don't want to hang out anymore.
No. They're like so healthy, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not him.
I don't do health.
Yeah.
Well, all no, right. This was actually fabulous,
well,
though.
Thank you.
Any other facts or information you desperately need to get out to the people?
Or any more beers you want us to try?
We've got lots. What else are we up to? We've got Covered the Barrels.
Okay.
We're doing the Flanders.
We talked about the cocktails, talked about the IPA. Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the nut brown, big browns. So I've got the Devil's Toasted Nuts is coming back again.
That's a great name.
Which is excellent name.
Which, thank you. That's coming back. It's in tank aging right now. So
nice.
I'm very excited about that.
So it's a strong
it's
nut brown?
It's a strong nut brown. It's, according to the BJCP, a double nut brown
doesn't
ale
exist.
doesn't, you can't, it's hard to find, but occasionally you will, and so I was like, well, that gives me license to brew one.
Does that mean you're doing does that mean you're doing a wheat wine soon?
I do have a wonderful recipe on that.
Yes!
One of my favorite beers I've ever made was that, just as a home brewer. So I would love to do a wheat wine, yes.
There's so few commercial examples. Yeah. I'm always excited when I see one.
I know who you can talk to.
But yeah, we got the Devil's Toasted Nuts, 6.66% alcohol.
Perfect.
Named itself.
Aged on toasted oak chips.
That sounds good.
No nuts.
But there's no nuts in it.
Thank you for that. Nut allergy here, so appreciate
no
that.
No EpiPen needed.
Keep it safe.
I'll try it anyways.
We know you will.
Well, did you guys want to do another beer or two? Or? All right.
Cool.
All right, so I'm guessing this one?
Sour.
Okay.
Sorry.
It doesn't look sour necessarily. It looks like it could be
well,
hazy. But
what do we have in front of us now?
So this is our strawberry vanilla sour.
Ooh. Oh, strawberry vanilla sour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we collaborated with Joey Group on this one.
Damn.
Like
all
the
big restaurant
again?
Groups.
Sorry.
No.
Can you put me in touch with your salesperson?
It's me.
I was going to say, you're talking to her.
Yeah. So we decided to collaborate with them on a fun sour beer for their restaurants because they didn't have that option. And so I suggested, let's do a sour with you guys. And sure enough, they didn't say no. So
that's awesome.
Lucky for me.
So I am getting that faint hint of strawberries.
Yeah. On the nose, yeah.
The nose is a little more mild on
it's
this one.
Subdued.
Strawberry's so hard to smell when you're using, like, the puree.
It's definitely on the flavor, though.
Oh, wow.
And that vanilla blends so well with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the vanilla's not overdone. Very subtle.
Yeah, well, we used pure vanilla as well. We didn't cheap out on this one.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of when vanilla's overdone. When you like that Granville Island Winter Ale, that's too much vanilla for me.
Yeah,
I don't think I've had it.
Neither. I haven't had it for years. But
this
is
quite nice though. It's almost a sort of a fruity, sweet candy kind of thing up front, and then it moves into that tartness.
Mm-hmm. So again, I'd say it's a little less tart than the last one.
It's much tarter than the last one, but the ingredients that are in it would bring that less tartness out.
But again, there's something more interesting in there than just a kettle sour, right?
Yeah.
All their sours are like this. I try and find them whenever I can.
Is that the Mai Tai?
No. Sour.
Strawberry vanilla.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well done again, sir.
And it finishes quite tart. It's not like puckering.
You're quite tart and my quite tart are two different things. So it is absolutely like minimal tartness to me. But the way the flavors blend, the strawberry and the vanilla just collide and like they both come on your tongue at the same time.
Yeah.
With a mild tartness on the end.
It's nicely balanced. The vanilla is
I could
so subtle
rush
that it's adding to it instead of taking over.
Okay, somebody go pour me a pint.
That is wild.
Yeah, that's really nice.
It's actually wild eye.
Yeah. Oh. That'd be a nice patio beer on a hot day for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I like this. This would be one that I'd want, like, a giant glass full.
The tart, dry finish leaves you wanting another sip, right?
It's like, I'm trying not to drink it that fast, but Mike's killing it already.
Yeah.
It's hard not to. It's good.
No, it's really nice. Color's on point, too. Like, it's got... You don't see strawberry color shine through, but you can see like a tinge it's going darker. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely got a hint of the color. Good lacing.
Oh, yeah, it is lacing nicely. Oh. Didn't even notice that. I tend to not look at that when the beer's that good. Yeah.
Yeah. Too busy looking at the bottom
of
the glass.
So how long have you guys had this one out for? Is this one of your series or is it just a sour that you guys have done?
So this is coming to the end. It's the last couple kegs left of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
hurry up and come get some.
I was going to say, when you hear this, come in and get some because it's pretty fucking great.
It is very nice. Damn, that vanilla is just enough to give you that little something that adds to it.
I find just that when it blends with you get the vanilla and the strawberry all at once kind of thing, it's quite magical on my tongue.
It's nice, too, because the strawberry is a little more subdued, so it's not like... crazy sweet like some of the strawberry beers can be.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like strawberry jam or something.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Damn. Which just can be overpowering.
Right.
Yeah, that is fabulous. Darn it.
So, I know as we're sipping this one, do you guys have anything else like barrel-aged or sour series
that you can talk about yet?
Able to talk about? Like little hints? I remember you have a week of editing.
Yeah. Well, we have our Flanders Red in these two four barrels behind us.
Okay. Ooh. That's what I've been staring at.
Yeah. So those are coming out soon-ish. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we're going to just flip these kegs once the Saison's out of them. Mike just brewed another Saison, so we'll just keep having fun with that.
Perfect.
Nice. And then we have a straight Chardonnay barrel Saison. Ooh. So it's really fun to try when you have like... the Riesling, the Pinotage, and the Chardonnay all beside each other.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and release those all at the same time. And then.
Cool. So you're saying we came too early.
Well, that'd be fun to come for almost a flight of barrel-aged beers that are similar base but have been in different barrels.
Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me of what Steel and Oak did with those barley wines years ago where they had, it was a red and a white, and I think it was a Chardonnay. And
that was their first year out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. They had when they had their backyard party because they back onto that winery.
The fruit winery, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a neat idea.
So anyways, we're going to keep growing the barrels. We're pretty small right now. Apparently, they want to get to 99 barrels of beer on the wall.
Wow. I'm into it.
I have to get 99. So this is the first phase, and we're going to just keep going up on the wall.
Could you just not say it's 99 barrels, but a beer ain't one?
There you go.
Oh, my.
I'm here all night until it's shut down. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Mike just rolled his eyes at me.
Yep.
Grab his big hook.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This is... I can't say anything bad about this beer. I'm
just easy summer beer. I mean, we're coming to the summer, but it's the last drops.
Even fall. Like, once you get a good strawberry beer, they are hard to find and actually get good flavors out of.
Yep. Without being that weird imitation kind of flavor.
Yeah. Where you're looking for, like, the Kool-Aid kind of strawberry flavor that adjective or whatever the fuck. Adjunct. Yeah. I said it. I've been to two breweries before here. Sorry, guys. I got off work too early. No, but this is fab.
So we got our dark lager next. Ooh. Czech dark lager.
Ooh. And it is dark.
She's dark.
Is this a year-round?
Yes. Yeah, we keep this a core year-round beer. It's not, too overpowering where, you're going to find those dark beer drinkers year round. Not a ton of them, but there's a decent amount.
Yeah, they exist. Yeah.
I'm sitting next to one.
Yeah, there you go. And, we would get murdered if...
So I'm getting all the aromas that I would expect off of this. You're smelling the roasty, the
You
coffee.
Get roasty toffee right off the front, yeah.
Yeah, super malty, a little bit of coffee, yeah.
It's really dark.
Yeah.
We already discussed that.
It's almost like a stout.
Oh my God, though. The flavor's coming off that.
Oh, major roast. Almost chocolatey. Little sweetness.
The sweetness, I'm almost like, is it is like it coffee, coffee with sugar. Vanilla?
Yeah. Yeah, it's more of a toffee caramel.
Yeah, you
kind
get
of
a bit
thing,
of vanilla on that for sure.
Hmm.
Okay, good. I thought it was crazy because we just had a strawberry
vanilla.
It could
have been a little bit of that.
But I mean, it cuts
but
right
you
away.
You do, yeah.
You do get a vanilla to my palate anyways.
That is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
yeah,
it's wild
like
eye.
That tastes like coffee, man.
That's coffee with a little bit
coffee
of,
with a bit of sugar.
Flavoring and sugar, yeah.
Well, that's insane. Mm-hmm. That's a breakfast beer right there.
It's cold brew.
Oh, cold brew. Mm. So,
there we go.
So I know what I'm drinking tomorrow morning.
That'll do. Yeah, that's a breakfast beer right there, man.
Oh, wait. It's going to be a Wednesday tomorrow.
Next time you're hungover, right there, buddy.
I normally go for the hair of the dog.
Hair of the dog. Nothing wrong with that.
Less scotch.
God.
You got to kill a hangover somewhere, no?
Scotch. That would make it worse for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah. Still the Irish and Scottish in my blood, probably.
I go full Caesar.
I hate Clamato.
Yeah, me too.
Clamato's
really?
Pretty rough.
If I'm doing one of those, I always said like just give me Harvey Wallbanger, orange juice, vodka, and a little Galliano sprinkled on top, and that's my Caesar. It's my breakfast beer because it's got orange juice. I can eat my potatoes, my bacon, my eggs, Benny, whatever.
Oh.
I'm a different breed, guys.
Yes, yes, you are.
It's called Raisin in Pit Meadows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but anyways, this beer, like this, so this is another one of your cores?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
really?
I can see why you keep it on all year round because I could drink this in the summer, no problem. It's
yeah, it's not super heavy in body or anything
no,
like that.
No, and the flavors are on point too, right? Like, I might not be able to have two or three of them, but I could definitely have a nice pint, sit out in the sun. Yep. I have to drink it fast because I don't know how it would warm up as well as I'd want in summer
weather. Oh, it tastes
great
warm, probably, yeah.
Says Mike.
I'm thinking I'd probably enjoy it more on a day like today where it's a little rainy.
Rainy,
out, a little
foggy,
on the cooler side,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know. I enjoy a Russian Imperial Stout on a sunny day, so whatever.
Yeah, but you're weird. Yeah,
like we said, you're a different kind of breed just like me.
Yeah.
You are too, Saison boy.
Alrighty.
I think we all just got nicknames.
Yeah. Sour guy over there.
Hi.
Wow.
Alrighty. Is it that time of the night?
It is that time of the night. So, unfortunately, we only have one person here left that I got to ask first. Warren.
Oh, God. My turn. All right.
I always do this to him because
this is actually pretty easy for me.
I kind of figured it would be. So, out of all six beers we've tried tonight, plus the one you tried before we even on the podcast, I'll let you pick that one too. Mm-hmm. But out of the seven you've tried tonight, what was your favorite and why?
My favorite has to be the barrel aged saison on the Pinotage.
Pinotage, yep.
Okay, hey, I said that right. That one was absolutely delicious. It's way too easy to drink. It's a table beer that would go with a lot of different things. It had that beautiful fruity grape kind of thing up front, finished nice and dry, a little bit of that Brett. I loved everything about it. It was way too easy to drink, higher percentage than you'd ever be able to tell. All the boxes are ticked. Second place has to be that that Northwest IPA.
Yep. All right, I'm going to ask you now, Sam, what is your favorite of the night and why?
I love the West Coast. I've always loved IPAs, mm-hmm. and I love how balanced that one is. And you know, you've got it's hoppy, but it's not overpowering, and
it's got a lot going on.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's a good beer.
All right, Mike.
I'm gonna pick two.
That's fine. So
there. I'm gonna go with the IPA and this dark lager.
Yeah.
Good choices.
Yeah. Different ends of the spectrum, but really well made, really easy drinking, lots of flavor. But that barrel aged Saison was really, really good. That'd be my runner up for sure.
Wow.
Jordan. All right.
Jordan.
All right. So I'm going to start off saying this. There wasn't a bad beer of the night, and it was hard for me to choose. But I'm going to agree with Samantha and say it's that West Coast IPA we had. It was super balanced. There was flavors coming off, like the fruit flavors. You had stone fruit. I was getting mango, pineapple, citrus. Like it had a lot going on with the bitterness and the hops.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfectly balanced. In my opinion, that's something I could crush all night. I'm an IPA guy. I'm a sour guy. Saying that, though, Both the sours were good. I really like the strawberry vanilla one. Like, I could drink that all night, I feel like. But the dark lager here at the end, the Czech lager, too, is fabulous. But I don't think I'd come here angry with any beer I fucking had. It everything was good. Even before, we didn't even talk about the cold IPA that I had a glass of before I arrived. And it's good, too. So all I can say is get your ass out, find Wild Eye anywhere you can, or come to the brewery if you're local. And, yeah, get it while you can, because some of it's running out.
Yeah. I probably didn't mention the beer I had before we started. That was a Saison as well, but it was a little darker, had some darker specialty malts with it.
The French farmhouse.
Yeah, and it had some Breton things in it too. It was quite nice, it was very dry. It was a little more rich than the other one, but they were both very good.
Well, I want to just say the one reason I did reach out is because I have become a fan of all your creative series. And I've been grabbing them when I see them, single cans, four packs, whenever. And I've never been let down. Like, everything's always been, like, good notes. Like we've been talking about, you can taste what's in it. You can taste, like, the love that Mike puts into it. And, yeah, it's, I don't know. Keep doing what you're doing and keep on getting more barrels.
Thanks so much. Keep doing that.
Yeah.
Right on.
Whatever's left for the 99.
Yeah. Yes.
99 problems, but a beer ain't one.
Yeah. Do you want to throw out all your social media and handles and all that?
Just at Wild Eye Brewing. Keeping it simple.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Beauty.
All right. And well, I guess, what's your address again? Just
1385 Main Street, North Van. Don't mess it up with the downtown.
Yeah. You can't miss the mural. Like I said, it's right there. But thank you so much for hosting us tonight. Well, we really appreciate it. And I guess all we can say is cheers, guys.
It's been fun.
Cheers.
Cheers, cheers, Samantha.
We out.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.